scripture lesson this morning is found from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 1 and verses 7 through 14 can be found on page 1621 of your pew Bible. But before we hear the gospel lesson, let's begin with a word of prayer. God of wisdom, open us to the work of your Spirit so that we may hear faithfully and respond to your holy word. Amen. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you might have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious and loving God, we ask you today that you would help us to understand your radical hospitality and what it means to be at table with you. We thank you for this time together, and may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, whenever you come across a story of Jesus at a meal, your ears should perk up. Particularly in Luke, because meals were a metaphor for the kingdom of God. Scholar Raymond Pickett states that the kingdom of God for Luke represents the world as God intends it, in contrast to how the world as it is. How folks behave at the meal table gives Jesus here in Luke 14 an opportunity to teach God's table manners, a glimpse into what God intends for the world. So we're told that Jesus was invited to the home of a leader of the Pharisees. The NIV translates this as a prominent Pharisee. Now, this would have been the third time in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus ate with the Pharisees. And let's just admit it, Jesus wasn't a model dinner guest. Each time he criticized the host or the other guests for their hypocrisy, and the conversation broke into a teaching about God's kingdom. Now, you would think after these three instances, the reader starts to wonder why the Pharisees would keep inviting this party pooper to their big dinners. What were they thinking? They should have known by now that if Jesus was at your dinner, that dinner wasn't going to go well. But who knows? Perhaps they were intrigued by his celebrity status, or his healing powers, or maybe they were just hoping to catch him in a moment of weakness or hypocrisy by plying him with some really good wine. But it's unclear, but we are told that in a not-so-subtle hint of hostility, that the guests of this party were watching Jesus very closely. Now, the lectionary skips verses 2 through 6, I think mostly because the story is too similar to last week's healing story of the crippled woman. But we need to touch on it just really briefly. Right after Jesus is invited into the house, a man with a condition called dropsy enters the Pharisee's house. Now, most likely he knew Jesus was there and he just walked in. This was not unusual at the time for people just to do that. Now, dropsy is what we would call edema. Is that how we say it out there, my nurse folks? Edema? Is that correct? That's very similar to that condition where you experience swelling, right? Yeah, heart failure in the limbs due to excess body fluid. That's what we're dealing with here. Now, in the ancient world, those people, they believed, at least the doctors, that people who suffered from dropsy also had an unquenchable thirst, which made their condition even worse. They were always thirsty and could never quench their thirst. So in the ancient world, Roger Tannehill, scholar, points out that dropsy became a metaphor in the world, the ancient world, for insatiable desire. Okay? So it should be no surprise to us that after Jesus heals this man of dropsy, that he turns his attention to the guests of this party, who, according to Tannehill, quote, are driven by an insatiable desire for the place of honor. Right in verse 7, we're told that Jesus watched as they wrangled for who was going to be in the seat of honor at the dinner table. We know that Jesus can heal a man of dropsy, but can Jesus heal the disease of the unquenchable thirst for privilege, selfishness, and greed in his party guests? Now, I don't know what kind of party this was, but the host failed to designate who was going to sit where, leading to what I imagine was this crazy game of musical chairs. Everybody at the dinner wanted as much face time with the host as possible, the prominent Pharisee, right? Because maybe if you got the seat of honor and were able to sit with the host, the prominent Pharisee, maybe you could work your way into prominence yourself. Or maybe you could work a project that you have been trying to work on. It's not unlike when the church in the 1950s, when employees would join the church their bosses went to in hopes to curry favor for a promotion down the line. In company towns, church membership soared in the 50s wherever the boss went to church. They were there not because they were excited about becoming disciples of Jesus Christ, because they were excited about what being a member at the church their boss went to would mean for their job prospects. This is what Jesus is getting at here. The meal table should not be a place of greed or selfishness or constant self-promotion, but rather a place of equality and justice where we choose humbleness over exaltation, where the least at the table is just as important as the host, meaning a place where we most clearly see the kingdom of God come to life. So understanding this context, of course, Jesus asked the party guests when invited to a wedding not to take the place of honor. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And so what Jesus is asking us here today is to be careful about how we exercise our privilege. I can safely say that the majority of us in here are people who experience and have great privilege. You may not always feel like it, but we do. Our privilege comes from our inherited wealth, from our parents and our grandparents, our familial and professional support systems, the color of our skin, the country we live in, and the opportunities we have. These things in and of themselves are not bad things, but in fact, they can be many gifts. They can offer us gifts. But having privilege doesn't mean you haven't struggled or suffered. It means that there are some advantages that we have over other people. But how we exercise this privilege makes all the difference. Do we use it in a way to deepen our own bank accounts or extravagantly spend money on our own selfish fantasies and desires? Or do we believe that we are more worthy for special attention or consideration than others because of our social and financial status? Is our time more valuable than other people's time? What Jesus is asking from the dinner guests and from us is that we use our privilege in a way that lifts up other people rather than lifting ourselves higher up the ladder. Commentator Mark Rawls compared this idea to the game of chutes and ladders. Y'all remember playing that game when you were kids? In the game, you are always trying to do what? Get up the ladder so you get to the very top, right? And avoid what? The chutes. You don't want to be lower. You want to get higher up the ladder so you can get to that number 100. Let's get to 100. But Mark Rawls says that we have completely misunderstood the point of the game. We are out there looking for ladders when Jesus is calling us toward the chutes. We are climbing up when He is calling us to come down. And following this calling to use our privilege to lift up others above ourselves, we model our lives after Christ, who, as Karl Barth profoundly said, Jesus came down, lowered Himself, so that we all may be lifted up. When we drown in excess privilege, we miss Christ. We walk right past Him in the alley where He was born. We miss the cries of the poor, the widowed, the diseased, the children whom Jesus spent so much time with. And we refuse to wash our neighbor's feet, thinking we are above such actions. And we thereby refuse to wash the foot of Christ Himself. So let's put that privilege to work. The privilege that so many of us enjoy in our life. Let's put it to work not for ourselves or to constantly be bettering our lives, but to be furthering the kingdom of God here on this earth. To lower ourselves so that we may lift others up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.